It's such an honor and a privilege to be up here this morning. Just really thankful today. Just woke up just overwhelmingly thankful. Just woke up with a peace in my heart and a gratefulness to God for allowing me, for seeing me through, for loving me regardless. 6 years ago this week, I was in a much different place. I was in a really dark place and made some decisions to turn that all around. And without the support of this church, without the support of people who love me, and without the support of people who stood for me, not against me, but stood for me, it's allowed me to be up here on the stage. It's allowed me to be a father to my children. It's allowed me to be a giver of the love that I received. This week, it means a lot more to me with all the things that are going on in this great country. And it's just a reminder to me that what changed my heart was when people stood for me. What changed my heart was when people loved me regardless. And I just want to remind you this morning is that we can stand with fists clenched or we can stand with arms open. Not standing against things, but stand for love. Stand for unity. Stand for peace. Right. We can let go of the, we don't need to stand against things. What truly changes hearts is when we stand for what Jesus put in us, and that's love, peace, and unity. We're so glad you're here this morning.
Stand with us.
Like a ring of solid gold, like a vow that is tested, like a covenant of old, and your love is enduring through the winter rain, beyond the horizon, with mercy for today. Faithful you have been, and faithful you will be. You pledge yourself to me, and it's why I sing. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my
sweat.
Thank you.
So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to Him, this is good, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you. It's freed us. We are no longer slaves to sin. We are no longer bound by our guilt and our shame. He has freed us. He has given us mercy and love and peace. It overwhelms us. Thank you, God, for your love and your compassion towards us, God, that you gave us freedom. Thank you that you made us holy.
Jesus.
Father, like the song said, Lord, that you want your bride to be whole, to be clean, to be free of her guilt, to be free of her shame. I had Friday morning, Chris and I had our coffee, and we stepped outside on our deck, and kids were still in bed, and we just start sharing a little bit, and I start sharing my heart, and my heart was nothing towards him, just my heart was not where it needed to be. And Chris just started speaking such wisdom into my life, and the more he shared it in complete love. I mean, just love gushed from him and his wisdom, and I kept, you know, wanting to hold back the tears, and there was such good conviction that came over my life, a good conviction that God, and I prayed this prayer afterwards, and I said, God, forgive me for not being light where I needed to be light. Forgive me for not being love where I need to be love. Forgive me for seeing people with my glasses instead of yours. Forgive me. And then I was reminded of a song that we used to sing, Hosanna, and it said, heal my heart and make it clean. And open up my eyes to the things unseen. Show me how to love like you've loved me. And so that became my prayer all week. And I meditated on those lyrics all week. And show me how to love like you have loved me. Forgive me, God, where I have fallen short. Where I have said your love only goes here. Or your grace only goes here. Or your mercy just goes here, because he didn't draw those lines, I did. And so I just saw a vision of God just wiping the line that I drew in the sand, just erasing it. And let me tell you, when God heals your heart in something like that, it's not a feeling of guilt and shame. It's a feeling of freedom. And it's a feeling of, God, I haven't been walking in that. I haven't been experiencing that. And so when I sang the song, God, your praise will ever be on my lips, then my prayer became, I want every word that proceeds out of my mouth to be of his praises, of your praises, of our nation's praises, of people's praises. Let every word that proceeds from my mouth, every thought that comes to my head, that I take it captive and I make it obedient to his truth. And his truth says that you were whole, that you were, my grace is for everyone, my love is for everyone, my mercy is for everyone. This morning's the sacrament of healing. And if you were maybe like me this weekend and you just needed kind of a come to Jesus, it was really a kind of a come to Chris moment where he was able to pour some wisdom and light into me, and I asked God, I said, God, forgive me. Create in me a clean heart, oh God. Maybe you're here this morning and you just want to say, I need a clean heart, or maybe your heart's broken or you've got things going on. The scripture says that he heals the brokenhearted and he binds the wounds. Maybe it's a physical ailment going on in your body. God cares about the physical, your body. He cares about your heart condition, your body condition, your soul condition. He cares about every intricate part. He cares about every part of you so much. He knows the number of hairs on your head. Every single thing matters. So if you're here this morning and you need healing in your body, you need healing in your soul, I'm going to ask that you come on forward, and our elders and our pastors are going to pray over you, are going to anoint you. Father, I thank you, God, that you are a good, good God. Thank you, God, that it is your kindness, Lord, that pursues us, your goodness that chases after us, that you care about every single moment, every single thing, Lord, that we walk through, that we experience, that we feel. Thank you, God. Thank you for your healing. Thank you, God, that it's within us. We release it right now, God. We release your healing in the body. We release your healing in the spirit. We release your healing, Father, in the soul. We release it. We release it. Thank you, Father, Lord. By your stripes, God, we are healed. By your stripes, God, we are made new. We are whole. We are righteous. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. thank you for this morning, God. We just praise you. We bless you, God. And we thank you for your goodness. And everyone says, amen.
Amen. You may be seated if you aren't already. Am I on? Can you hear me? Now you can. Good. Well, good morning. How is everyone? It is so good to be here. If you have one of these cards, it means you got a bulletin. And then you can take this and you can fill this out. Lots of important information within that bulletin to answer some of the questions that are on this card. So if you're a visitor, thank you for being here. We're glad that you are here. Love for you to fill that out. If you're a member, you're asked and supposed to fill one out. You didn't know that, did you? You're supposed to fill one out and drop it in the offering bucket at the end. Gives us an opportunity to touch base with you if there's any prayer requests or anything like that. And if you're visiting, we have one of these that will be on the information center, and you can just grab it as you're leaving. So they'll be just sitting out there. So good to be in the house of God. I missed last Sunday. After a wedding last Saturday, I headed to the beach, Jennifer and I, and got down there thinking I'm going to spend the day on the beach, and I got to spend the day in the bed. I was sick. I had chills, and I don't know if fever ever came up, but it felt like it broke one time, and so all day long, I was just in the bed, and well, I say that from about 3 until 6, I was on the couch watching the golf tournament. But, you know, I really didn't get upset. I really didn't, you know, I was at the beach, but I was in the bed. But you know what? There wasn't a single person in the house. And it was quiet. And I slept. And I rested. And I was at peace. And it was just, it ended up being a God thing. And a lot of it was because of the attitude in which I addressed it. Now, I didn't feel my best. And I did get up that evening and tried to take a little nourishment and just kind of eased back into that kind of thing. But God's good. I have so many directions that I am wanting to go and to share and to I'm just going to take my time. And y'all know I'm usually not very long anyway. So if I take my time, maybe I'll be as long as Pastor Buren is. But in preparing, I got home from the beach on Wednesday, and Thursday morning I got up early, and I whipped up out my phone, and I went to this app called Eagles Way Church app. Y'all downloaded that yet? Even Spencer Fry has now downloaded the Eagles Way app. He got a new phone, and it got it done. And I went over, and I clicked on sermons, the YouTube button for sermons, and I started listening to Pastor Buren this past Sunday. Isn't that one of the coolest things in the world? You whip out your phone, and you can see what you missed on Sunday morning and be refreshed. Now, that is not a license to not come to church on Sunday mornings. The body of Christ needs you here. We want you here. It is important that for you to get up and to be here. But there are times when you can't be here, and nobody ever gets a phone call the first time you miss a Sunday. Okay? We are not like that. But you take that, and you can use that. How many read Joey Grubbs' blog? Okay? You know what happens every day? And don't try to go back and catch up. You'll get way behind, and you'll stop. But there's some good information. So if you haven't read his blog, very good, because I stole a few things from it for this morning. Okay? Now, I say stole. He put it on the internet, so that means it's free to anybody that wants to use it. Okay? And so if I claim it as my statement, no, I'll give him credit. There are some tremendous things that are going on in our nation, in our community, in our church, and in the hearts of everyone here. One of Joey's blogs said, "We have a problem. I see it, and I desperately want to be a part of the solution." It was in reference to what took place in Dallas, Texas, and the shootings that happened, and the cry that America is having for the problem that is there. That sometimes we think, oh, it's not even an issue anymore. This racial or this social prejudice or whatever it might be, is we're beyond all of that. We are moving, but we are not beyond all of that. It is a responsibility of us to continue to do what God has called us to do, to bring change, to enlighten people that there needs to be change. I got an email yesterday and from a good pastor friend of mine in town, and I'm just going to read it to you because I want you to be aware of it in case you would like to be a part of it. It says, "Our nation is being torn apart by hatred, racial divide, injustice, ignorance, and misunderstanding. And yet the gospel of Jesus addresses all of this and provides the only path toward love, peace, and unity. It is the mission of the church, the body of Christ, to bring people together for prayer and reconciliation. Three churches, and there, I'm sure there's more that have jumped on board at this point, but New Mercy Baptist Church, Rising Star Missionary Baptist Church, Oak Hill Baptist Church are committed to demonstrating the love of Christ and to promoting understanding, reconciliation, and prayer in the Griffin community. Together, we will host a community prayer vigil tonight at 6 p.m. at the Park at 6th, which is located there by the courthouse. We invite you to join us for a time of worship and prayer as we come together and pray in the following ways: for peace and unity in our nation and our community, for the victims and families affected by the recent shootings in Baton Rouge, Falcon Heights, Minnesota, and Dallas, for racial unity and reconciliation, for protection and honor for our law enforcement community, and for the Church of Jesus Christ to lead a movement of reconciliation. The Church of Jesus Christ is a time that it needs to be strong. It needs to stand. It needs to rise up. It needs to be bold. It needs to love. It doesn't need to use force. It doesn't need to try to make something happen. It just needs to do what God has called us to do. I have started reading this book, and it's really just talking about the disciplines of the Christian walk and things that you can do and need to be doing. And because you always remember the bracelets that everybody used to wear that had WWJD on them? Anybody still got one? Are you just not willing to admit it, are you? What would Jesus do? Was a question that you were supposed to ask yourself when you got into that situation. What would Jesus do? And then do what Jesus did. The premise of this book is basically saying, if you don't do what Jesus did when he wasn't in a situation, you won't be prepared to do what he did when you are in a situation. Did you hear that? If you don't do what he did when he wasn't in a situation, you won't be prepared to do what you need to do when you are in a situation. Chris is a pilot. Has a checklist. He has things that he goes through them. 98% of the time, when you go through those checklists, everything is going to be fine and no problems. It's that 2% that if you find something, and so he continues to go through those checklists, at least if I'm going to fly with him ever, he's going to go through those checklists and make sure that he has done what he is supposed to do in the off time, so that when he gets to the point that he has to do something because something happened, he's going to be able to do it. because of the holiday schedule and some different things, we ended up moving our staff meeting around. Usually we do those on Tuesday mornings once a month, and pastors' meetings are Tuesday mornings twice a month, and I keep moving it around, and I keep them so confused. We have to send out an email to make sure they know whenever there's going to be a staff meeting or a pastor's meeting. But we did it on Thursday last week, and it was a lot of times staff meetings are calendars and what we got going and what we're planning, and but this one wasn't. Sometimes they are spiritual and they're informational about where we're going and what direction we're heading, but there was a chemistry that needed to come, that needed to happen. And it did in that particular meeting. But what I sensed in that meeting was that God is doing something new and fresh, not just at Eagles Way Church, but in the world. And it's going to be a little different than what it may have looked like in the past, but you know what? It's still God. It's still Jesus. And it's still incredible. If you haven't been here on First Wednesdays for the last few months, you have missed a few things. May, June, and July, been talking about the gifts of the Spirit and how they are there to empower us, how they're there to help us, how they're tools in our toolbox or arrows in our quiver, ways that you can use those. And we had some young people. I wasn't in here for those that were here on Wednesday night. I was up in the youth talking to the youth. And we were talking about speaking in tongues, and we were talking about interpretation and what is that like, and do you have to do that, and do you not have to do that, and all of those things. And, you know, I even felt like I had a check that, you know, I'm not even going to give them an opportunity to receive that gift at this moment. That is a personal decision that I want them to make if at that point in time they want to make that. But it's possible that you may be in a service and the young people, because they're in here on the first Sunday of each month, that you might see a young person and they may be speaking in tongues. Don't flip out. They know what they're doing. They've been trained and taught of what and how to use that gift that God has given. Some of you use that gift. Some of you are going, what in the world are you talking about? I don't even have a clue. It's all right. If you're interested, I'd be happy to share with you what that gift is about. How that it can empower you to WWJD. That when you're in that situation, that you're going to know what you need to do and how to act and what to do. Back of your bulletin is our mission statement, our vision statement. And this is something that on Thursday morning we came back to and grounded us on where we're going and what is the purpose and what is where we're headed. Because there's so many different things that are out there and things that are being taught and so many things that are in gray areas. But for Eagles Way, if you're a member here, your mission is to accept everyone. Who? I'll read the rest of it in a second. But your mission is to accept everyone. That's what God did. Doesn't mean you have to condone. Doesn't mean you have to go in and change people. It means you just have to accept them. And you do that by showing God's unfailing. Everybody say, unfailing. Unfailing. I fail. Right, Jenny? There's times I drop the ball and I mess up and I explode or I whatever. You fail at times. God never fails. God's unfailing. And the three words that we have there are truth, mercy, and love. God's truth is pretty easy because it's just his word that's here. Okay? It's not your interpretation of the word. It's not my interpretation of the word. It's his word. Sure, each person has to take their interpretation and apply that to their life. And that's why there's church buildings all across this community so that people can be hopefully enlightened a little bit or brought along and into what this means and what that purpose is. But the truth is there. God's unfailing mercy is there. We sang all about his blood this morning. His blood was shed on a cross. It was poured out to bring life. You deserve to have died instead of him. But it's his mercy that we give. That's why we love people. That's why we proclaim his truth. But it's got to be done in love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13 says, three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Pastor Buren made a statement last week, said, love gives truth its voice. Think about that for just a minute. It's powerful. How many read it on Instagram this morning? Oh, you don't follow Eagles Way Church on Instagram? If you're on Instagram, you need to follow Eagles Way Church. Love gives truth its voice. When I was raising my children, the way that I was able to speak truth in their life is because I was giving unconditional love into their life. And they received it from me because I was doing that. And that is what God does for us. And in turn, that is what we have got to do when we accept everyone. There'll be time for truth, but we've got to love. I encourage you today at 6 o'clock to consider going to the park at 6. I would love to be there myself. I had to respond to the email and say, I'm leaving for summer camp with our youth, and I just don't know if I can work it out. But I'll have somebody there from Eagles Way to represent, and I've talked to the couple about having, so I think there's going to be at least a few Eagles Way folks there, but I would love to have every Eagles Way person there. Well, what are they going to do? How long is it going to last? It is going to be so hot. If you want to do what Jesus did in certain circumstances and instances, then you have to do what he did all of the time. What are those things? He got away and prayed by himself. He calmed himself. See, our community, our nation, is looking for a church world that is not going to stand up and point fingers. They're looking for a church world that's going to stand up and love. They're going to not condone, but they're going to accept. And they're going to love, and they're going to pray, and they're going to move forward, and they're going to be bold, and they're going to be strong. But guess what? It takes people of a church to get out and to do that at times. Now, you don't have to do everything that is in the church bulletin, even though some of you try to do that. You don't have to do everything that is in there. But if you're going to know how to love, if you're going to do what Jesus did in circumstances, you've got to do what he did before that. Our vision statement is something that we worked on for a long time, and we have tweaked it before and done a lot of things with it. But it's pretty simple. But it's pretty hard. It'll roll off the tongue fairly easy. But walking it out is not the easiest of efforts. It says, what are we becoming? That's your vision. What are we becoming? It means it's a process. It's happening. But the first thing is that you're completely devoted to Christ. Ooh. Completely devoted to Christ. Well, yes, I can go on Sundays, and first Wednesdays really work out for my schedule, so that's not a problem. But getting up 30 minutes early to have a time of prayer or to read the Word, I got to be at work at 8 o'clock. How can I get up that much earlier? I've got, you know what, I can do it in the evenings after I put the kids to bed, after I do this, as long as right before I watch whatever that show is that you watch. Nothing on during the summer, is there, Jen? We DVR everything now, so we don't even know when it plays. But making it a priority by being devoted completely to Him. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. Says Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your mind. That's what completely devoted to Christ is. To love your Lord God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and all of your mind. That means it consumes you. It means it's your first thoughts. It's on the forefront. Not that you can't do other things. You can go to the lake on the weekends at times and enjoy that time and still be completely devoted to Christ. But you may have to at times not do something because you are completely devoted to Christ. Irrevocably committed to one another. In part of our discussion, we said, well, irrevocably might be a little strong. You know, that's irrevocably is like you can't change it. It's irrevocable. If we are irrevocably committed to one another, that means we love one another through anything. Not just when people are doing right. Not just when people are healthy. That we're committed to one another, to love them, to encourage them, to show God's unfailing truth, mercy, and love, no matter what. John 13:34. So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, You should love each other. In our context, irrevocably committed to one another is for here at Eagles Way. But that is just the basis of what we take when we go to love people in the world. I was challenged this week. I got in about 3 or 3:30 on Wednesday from the beach. It was very nice and relaxing, wonderful. And we had first Wednesdays. So I had a meeting that set up at 5 o'clock and got home, got my shower, came on to church, knowing I had Thursday during the day to get office stuff done and emails that stack up and all of the thing, you know, your to-do list. So you try to get 4 days worth of work done in one day so that you can still, and we had scheduled a fun weekend with my in-laws. It was so incredible. We did a yard sale and it was so refreshing after the fact and got it all done. And so I had Thursday, this block of time to do my to-do list, to get my stuff done. And about 11:30, I get a phone call. And I'm in the middle of it. We've had a little meeting that morning and going and doing. And it was a gentleman on the other end of the phone. And I was struggling to understand even what he was saying a little bit. And basically what I got is he was in need of some money. And could we help? And kind of heard a little bit of what his... a little bit of his story, and I just said, he said, I'm close by. He was about, I don't know how far away. I just said, well, I said, find out this information, and if you find out this information, call me back. Well, about an hour later, he calls back, and I said, okay. I said, if you can get here, then I will help you. Thinking, he's probably not going to make it. It's not going to happen. Knock on the door, my office door. Mr. Will, I talked with you on the phone. I said, come on in. So I sat down and I talked with him. Been out of jail about a week. Didn't have an ID. I said, I'll help you get an ID. So I put down my pen and my stuff. I said, let's go. So we went over to the Georgia State Patrol office and sat down. And it wasn't that long. I think we were there maybe 15 minutes or so, and he got his ID. Thank you for giving of your alms, because we had alms money there to use, and $5 of it went to help someone get an ID. He said, I just need to be able to get a job. I just need to be able, if I can get a job, then I can start giving money to my 7-year-old girl that's here in town. I said, well, I'm kind of glad now I took you to get your ID. I didn't know that information before now. And he said, is there any way you can help me with a prescription? I said, we don't help with prescriptions. I said, we've just made a decision. We really don't get involved with that. And he said, I understand. He said, I've got an appointment at the Hope Health Clinic. I said, that's where I was going to send you. It's Hope Health Clinic. He said, I've got an appointment at 3 o'clock. I said, all right. I said, you want me to drop you off there? And he said, yeah. I said, and it was about, this is, I guess it's about 1:30, 2 o'clock now. I said, have you had any lunch today? He said, I hadn't eaten in 3 days. I said, I'm glad I asked. Let's grab you something, what you want. So we went and pulled through a drive-thru. Got him something to eat. He said, if you drop me off at the Hope Health Clinic, hopefully they're going to help me with this medicine. And come to find out, you know, your first thoughts are, oh, medicine. But no, it was just a topical thing that he needed, that something he was dealing with. I said, anything else I can help you with? He said, my only other greatest need right now is I can't get a job because I don't have a phone number, any minutes on my phone to have someone call me back. I said, let's get you some minutes on your phone. So we went by Family Dollar and put some minutes on his phone. Thank you, Eagles Way, for giving of alms. $45 went to put some minutes on a phone so that a young man, a 30-year-old man, could get some minutes on a phone so he can make some money so he can feed his little girl. You did that. I dropped him off at the Hope Health Clinic. It's about 45 minutes until his appointment. And nice shady spot. He said, I'll be great right here. Thank you. Appreciate all you've done for me. A lot of people won't help me. I said, I know. I said, if you can make it to church on a Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, I've got a man that's in our church that has been where you've been and done what you've done and has organizations and different things that he is acquainted with that can connect you to help you. Because I realize you're in a position now that getting a job is not even the easiest thing for you. He said, I'll do my best to be there. And whether it's this Sunday or another Sunday, or if he never does. Took me about an hour and 10 minutes that day. But the best decision I did to step outside of what I needed to get done and what my lists were and what I needed to happen to try to get to where I can go to summer camp this afternoon. Guess what? I'm still going to summer camp this afternoon, and some of the things that I didn't get done. But it'll be okay. Guess what? They'll be here next week when I get back from summer camp. But a young man looked at me like I haven't seen a young man look at me in a long time and just thanked me. And all I did was showed a little bit of love. And I was in a situation where I just kind of really didn't want to go do all that right then. And I didn't have the wherewithal to pull out my bracelet, WWJD. But my wife has been working with me on calming myself. I'm being a little more still. I'm setting aside some margin, is the word, right? Some margin. And in doing that, God has been speaking in me and working in me. I'm not telling you got to be at the park at 6 o'clock tonight. But there will always be some type of park at 6 in your life. And you have to make a decision. What is it that you need to do? WWJD. And if you are doing what God was doing in his off times, spending some time in prayer, some solitude, getting away, taking care of the stuff that was on the inside, maybe you need to see that counselor. Maybe you need to see that coach. Maybe you need to come to the altar when it's sacrament of healing. Whatever it is, the world needs us. Because our last statement is passionate about reaching the lost. You don't just become passionate about something. It develops. When I first met Jennifer, I was not passionate about her. But it developed. When I started watching the NFL, I started sleeping to the NFL. It was a good nap time. Falcons, NFL, nap, it just works. But as I began spending time, I got into fantasy football. I got kind of passionate about football. You say, well, you're supposed to be passionate about things of God. It's okay to be passionate about other things. As long as it doesn't get above being fully devoted to Christ. So whether it's a lake hobby, whether it's a cycling exercise thing that you do, you can have passions, but allow those passions then in turn help and touch other people. My passion for NFL football, I now have 24 guys that are kind of passionate about football. And the greatest thing that I can ever do is allow them to see how to channel that passion to be first and foremost for Christ. So whether it's your neighbor next door that God has pricked at you to bake a pie for and take it to him, and you just hadn't done it yet, or whatever it is that is your situation that you're supposed to pull out your bracelet, just do it. After reading Joey's blog post, Kitty, you can come to the piano. Joey's blog post about, I don't even remember the title of it now, I just know that we have a problem. That's what I would have entitled it. And I'm sorry, give me one second. I think y'all like that a lot better now. His next blog post was really good too. And it talked about encouragement. It talked about words that he uses when he was coaching baseball. But over 2,000 years ago, Jesus looked at 12 men. And all that he was and all that he is and all that he had done and what he was getting ready to do, he basically looked at them and said, guys, I believe in you. Because I've entrusted who I am, what I am, and what I will be to you. And that has been happening every day since then. Donnie, I believe in you. That when you go to these barbecue tournaments and contests, it's a passion of yours. But I know you're touching men's lives. And you don't have to beat them with something. But you can, there's times that truth will come there. And as you're loving on them and appreciating what they do, you're making a difference. Keep doing that. I am so impressed with Joey Grubbs. To retire and what you've known to do and just start doing something different. Everybody's like, oh, it's pretty easy if you still got a retirement pay coming in. Well, but it changed his life. He had to change and do things differently. But he's touching young men's lives. He's got a couple of football players that he's, You know what he's doing? He's teaching them how to run. What do you mean they didn't know how to run? Oh, they can run. They just couldn't do it very well. And he's teaching them some techniques and some things that is making a difference in their lives. And who knows what will happen? It may bring about an education for a young man, which then leads him into being who God has called him to be. Because somebody did what he was supposed to do in the right time. Whatever your passion is, if your passion is your kids, your point, listen, pour into your kids. And I know you never stop, but it doesn't mean that you can't take some of those same principles and those same things that you've been pouring into your kids, and if they're grown, begin doing that with something else. Passionate about reaching the lost. We will have more information for you, but we have a community service project that was planned last November for the police officers and the families of this community and for the emergency rescue. It's going to be on August 28th, a Sunday afternoon. And it's going to be from, we don't have the exact time, but probably 5:30 to 8:30 or something like that, 3-hour slot. Oh, wow. Why don't you do it right after church? That'll be so much easier. I can just go straight there, because the police officers work 12-hour shifts. And they're either going on to work at 7 o'clock or getting off at 7 o'clock. So we're going to do it outside of our comfort zone. But you know what we're going to do? We're going to cook them a barbecue meal for the entire family. I went and talked with Chief, our new police chief. He said, man, I am all in. He said, I am trying to change some things that I would like to tell you that most everybody would come. He said, plan on 20. I said, 20? He said, yeah. He said, they're just not very trusting. People, you know, they're just not sure what they're going to get. I said, I understand. I think there's going to be more than that. We know some police officers that share the word. We know some emergency personnel with the city. This time we're taking on the city. Next year we're going to look at the county. But being who God has called us to be, one of the things that we are supposed to do is to serve. So it's going to take a lot to pull this off, because, Donnie, I got 24 Boston butts coming. And there's going to be a lot of baked beans, a lot of coleslaw. And we're going to prepare for over 400. It doesn't matter who shows up, because you know what? It'll go to the soup kitchen if somebody's going to eat that food. And it's a big endeavor. And we're going to have about 6 or 7 weeks to get it all planned. But I'm going to need some of you that don't normally step outside your box to pull out your bracelet. And know that this is what Jesus would do. But you get those opportunities each and every day. If you would stand, team can be coming to worship. Thank you for just allowing me to share my heart, to share a little bit of my passion with you. But I'm telling you, God wants to do something inside of you. Please don't say, I wish so-and-so had been here to hear that. Because all you have to do is say, man, it was incredible. You can go listen to that. Jason usually has it up. For sure by Monday, but usually sometime on Sunday it's up where you can watch it. And let me tell you, I was watching last week. I was so impressed with our video guys. I usually listen to it, the podcast. But our video guys, in a year's time, because it's been a year since I've actually watched one, our video guys have come along. Let's give them a big hand, all these guys involved in the media. Have done a tremendous job. I've shifted gears just a second, so you guys can sit back down. You guys can start playing softly. And we're going to receive our morning's tithes and offerings. I had considered an altar call, but you know what? Let me just say this. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you need one. If you've never started one, you need to start one. And all you have to do is come up to me and say, hey, I want to start one, and I'll teach you how to do it. Or anybody that's on these front couple of rows here is who you can be confident with. But if you have one, then you need to nurture it. And you need to use it. And I want to say thank you for your faithfulness to giving. And summertime is always a slow time, and we've slowed down a little bit, but not like we have in the last couple of years. Your tithes, your offerings, your alms are touching people's lives. They're making a difference. Father, Lord, I thank you that we can come to your house, that we can worship you, we can be led into your presence. I thank you, Father, Lord, that you continue, Father, Lord, to mold us and to shape us to be like you, so that we don't have to pull out a bracelet. We are the bracelet. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now you can stand and we can worship as before we're dismissed.
Shame, I know by her true name, and it's why.